Our faith is based on the infallible Word of God. We hold that truth so strongly that we've just spent almost a year going over the Chicago Statement of Biblical Inerrancy and the Chicago Statement on Biblical Hermeneutics. We've learned that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments in their original autographs are the breathed out Word of God, written by men under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and that scripture alone is our source of authority in all matters of faith and practice. The elders thought that the present time would be a good time in our weekly confession of faith to examine Providence Church's summary statement of faith, which we intend to conform to scripture. That's what's been handed out now. Ron, would you put that up, the first paragraph, please? This statement of faith represents, this is the introduction, represents the doctrinal outline of Providence Church. The teaching and preaching will reflect this understanding. This statement does not necessarily define the boundaries of our fellowship. Christians who differ with this statement are welcome to worship the Lord together with us. Our basis for unity and communion is threefold. First, a biblical confession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Second, an acknowledgement of the authority of Scripture. And third, the absence of a scandalous lifestyle. We affirm the historic creeds of the church, including the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Chalcedonian Statement, and the Athanasian Creed. Members generally subscribe to either the London Baptist Confession of 1689 or the Westminster Confession. So we affirm the historical creeds. These creeds were adopted by church councils in the first 500 years of the church in response to widespread heresies of the faith. We also affirm the two Reformed Confessions of Faith. The Reformed Confessions were written at the time of the Reformation, I believe in the 17th century. They are set up as a kind of systematic theology, saying what the Bible reflects on various topics of instruction. They also include catechisms for the instruction of youth and for adults as well. The Westminster and London Baptist Confessions are both Reformed Confessions, substantially the same except for baptism, one endorsing believer baptism, the other paedobaptism. The first article in our confession is God. The first sentence reads as follows: There is one living and true God, who is almighty, infinite, eternal, good, and unchangeable in all his attributes. I encourage you to look up these qualities in a concordance. It's a profitable way to get a greater appreciation of who God is. Let me give you a couple of examples. God is one living and true God. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 5 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. 1 Corinthians 8, 6 says, Yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things. Jeremiah 10, 10, But the Lord is the true God, he is the living God and the everlasting King. God is almighty is another statement. Genesis 17, 1, God said to Abraham, I am almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Isaiah 46, 9 to 10, For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God is infinite and eternal. Genesis 1:1, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the uncaused cause, which came before everything else. Exodus 3:13-14. Then Moses said to God, Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me. God is the eternally existing one. God is good. Psalm 119:68, You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Psalm 33:4-5, For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. God is unchangeable, and these are some great verses under God is unchangeable. Malachi 3:6, For I am the Lord, I do not change. James 1:17, Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and he will not do? Or has he spoken and he will not make it good? Now the second sentence about God. God eternally exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, these three being co-equal in power and glory, having the same attributes and perfections. Regarding the three persons of the Trinity, 1 John 3:7, for there are three who bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And the triune blessing, 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And then what I think Ed touched on earlier, the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, is a triune order. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. All three persons of the Trinity were active in creation. We've studied that. All three persons of the Trinity are active in redemption. We've talked about that. Scripture attributes the same divine qualities to all three persons of the Trinity. Kyle Robbins, who was formerly an elder of this church, did a scripture study of the attributes of God, and he found that every godly attribute was assigned to every member of the Trinity somewhere in Scripture. It was a very lengthy study he did. Brothers and sisters, we worship a surpassing God. Our knowledge of God is based on his word. Lord, let us never turn our faith from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.